If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hi, welcome to Why Blank Lost. My name's Mike, and I am not a puppet. Don't call me a puppet, or I will vote you off.
I'm sorry. Listen, Puppet Master, let's go. We got a podcast to do. Put the puppet away.
You knew that was me? Shizzle sticks!
Oh, Mike. Welcome, everyone, to... It's like we did Sesame Street before. Now we're going into another realm of children's television with the Puppet Master, David Bloomberg.
Yes. So anyway, yes, I'm David Bloomberg. And last week I was half or three quarters right in my prediction. But this week I was spot on.
Yeah, here we go.
Of course, that was bad news. For my co-host, Jessica.
It was terrible
who lost
news.
Her winner pick.
I did. It was not amazing. Okay. Hi. It was not amazing.
Yeah,
I was so excited. He was doing so well.
Yeah.
And he continued to do well all the way up until the end.
Right. And you know, unlike some people, I would never have a celebrity drink when my podcast partner's winner pick gets voted out.
Boy, you have just come prepared this evening, haven't you? Well, if it helps, I might be drinking champagne too, but not because I'm celebrating his loss. I just wanted to drink champagne.
Oh, okay.
But I'm glad that you are celebrating my loss, because at least we are this far into the season celebrating my loss, as opposed
to
second vote in.
Yeah.
In the first episode.
Yeah, which never would happen to either of us. So
never.
No. No. And also, just, you know, to be clear, just like you were very recently, I am not celebrating High getting voted out. I'm celebrating Jessica losing her winner pick. So we're back on an even playing field again.
We definitely are. Oh, I'm it's delicious, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Chugging that down. This, I will say.
Between this and lack of sleep, this is going to be an interesting podcast.
Here we go. Get ready, everyone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or no, I could just fall asleep halfway through. We'll see.
Don't fall asleep, because there's nothing I can do. I could start screaming loudly into the microphone and people probably wouldn't appreciate that.
No. So.
But yes, it's going to be sad for me, but I so happy.
In there.
I know. But he was great. He continues to be great. Loved his exit interviews. Mm-hmm. Really provided a lot of insight that we didn't see, which is always incredibly helpful.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we have to talk about how I will not be celebrating my big win at the end. Instead, we will be discussing my loss now.
Yes, yes. Well, no, we'll be discussing High's loss, actually.
But, and mine, too.
Yeah, and yours. And, you know, to determine what happened to bring High down low, we'll follow our usual path of comparing his game to the rules for winning I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. We'll look at all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media, and secret scenes. And by the way, last week, we kind of realized mid-podcast that we had forgotten to check the secret scenes out. And
make sure to check.
Yeah, I was right. There wasn't anything important in them last week.
No.
Also, nothing important in them this week. A lot of people being cold.
Can I tell you, we need to just spend a moment on this, because I was watching that secret scene and it really did bring me back, because there is that moment when you're out on the island and it's raining and you're cold and you realize I literally can't go anywhere. Like it makes you really appreciate the fact that you could get up and just walk into your house, walk into another room, that you could open a refrigerator and you are out in the elements and there is no place you can go. Absolutely no place, because it's just raining and there's nothing for you to hide under. There's nothing you can go inside of. So yes, I was definitely feeling for them, because that is a very, very difficult thing to get through,
mm-hmm.
because you've never experienced something right. like it. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Brought me back.
Ah, such good, warm feel. Oh, wait, no, freezing cold feelings, yes, I guess.
Very, yeah. very cold and very wet yeah. and very uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I was going to say, normally we have a couple things to discuss before the rules, but we already started. So
we did.
Jumping ahead before we even get to the rules. Look at that. Another thing that I find interesting, and I haven't heard mentioned anywhere yet, though I could have missed it. And, you know, podcasts are a little bit behind, I think, because of RHAP Live. Mm-hmm. People who went there, I hope they all had fun. We're sorry we couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Just no way to have it happen.
It's impossible right yeah. now.
But here's the thing. Is the Taku 4 double pagonging everyone else?
Right? I'm fascinated, because looking at my little cheat sheets here that I've been using I still do, because they're my guides. And I was looking at them going, wait a second. Taku's got four people left.
Yeah. And yes. And at the final seven, we have all four. So they all came in with four to the merge. Mm-hmm. At final seven, we have four Taku, two Ika, one Vati, by my count.
Mm-hmm. You are correct.
No, it's...
Oh, David, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yes. So, yeah. I mean, it's mm-hmm. interesting.
Very interesting.
It reminds me of your season when people were like, oh, look, it's swinging back and forth. And I was on with Rob and I was like, actually, it's a pagonging right now. Mm-hmm. You know? And
yeah.
people were like, oh, yeah, it kind of is. You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, it's very interesting, because I do think, especially listening to things that Hai said, that mm-hmm. he was not desirous of maintaining like the tribe bond that he had. He was willing to work with whoever he connected with the most. And I'm curious if this is something that Taku has, I know they kind of talked about it, but I feel like it fell off and we haven't really heard anything. But looking at it, it's yeah. very interesting that this is the structure that we now see.
I mean, they, you know, Jonathan said it, that one challenge, you know, we're a tight four.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, everybody's like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. But
they're like, shh, don't. So they stopped saying it.
Right. Yes. yeah. And instead now, you know, we've seen instances of Lindsay and Omer thinking about getting rid of Jonathan. Mm-hmm. So it could change if that actually happens. If
right.
that's not just a bunch of red herrings.
Right.
You know,
for sure.
I mean, are they actually going to do it, or are they starting to view him as a goat?
I'm curious about that, honestly.
Yeah, me too. It's just so hard to know how they think of him.
And that's true, because even, again, going back to things that Hai said in regards mm-hmm. to Omer, and what we are seeing might not be what the tribe is seeing. So, again, it is very interesting how we're viewing the gameplay, because we do see all of it and they don't. So who knows what the view is really of Jonathan, other than he's a very large person who seems to be able to win a lot of challenges. Does that mean he can then win in the end?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and even if he can't, does he win all the challenges to the point that he takes up the spot?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very fair.
Right. Now, I also wonder what Omer thinks of Lindsay, since it has seemed like they're close. But then Hai said in his interviews that Omer and Drea were close to each mm-hmm. other and to him, even though we haven't seen that at all.
Right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds familiar.
Who does it sound like?
Maybe this guy named Adam I once knew.
You once
on
knew?
An island.
I didn't see anything indicated you knew him.
Right? No one would know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's what you're going at. Oh, yeah.
Still know the guy, yeah. but mm-hmm. it didn't appear like we ever talked ever when we were living on an island together.
Yeah.
So it is, it's unfortunate. I really wish that that wouldn't happen, because I do think it's definitely skewing things for the viewers, which obviously we, that's why we try to get as much information as we possibly can in making determinations about why things happened in the game. But it does become very difficult when you don't see any type of a relationship between two people. And then you hear about it later that, oh no, we were so tight and they just never showed anything.
Yeah.
How do you decide to remove that entirely from a storyline? I still don't understand.
Yeah. I guess we'll find out as things go along. But I mean, all I know right now is that Omer is running the game and I'm loving it.
Yes.
I'm loving his terrible impressions.
Oh, I love all of it.
I love his looks to the camera, and I love that no one suspects that he's behind everything.
I know. It's incredible. He is so under the radar. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing the way that he's being able to just pull it off by just being a genuinely nice person that everybody really wants to hang out with.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, no, he's honest and he has loyalty and integrity.
But he's also sneaky.
Yes.
He's very sneaky. And it really goes to show just how much people do trust him, because all of the things that he has said to cause things to spiral have not then been divulged by the person he told it to. So clearly there is a very great trust for Omer, which I'm fascinated that he's been able to pull that off so well, because he's blatantly just lying about things that didn't actually happen. And it's not even like he took something and twisted the words a little bit.
We'll get to that. Yeah. But before we get to the rules, I do think we also have to talk about Marianne finding the new idol.
Yes.
And being so happy she didn't have to say any silly phrases.
It's about time, right?
So she goes to tribal council and says a bunch of silly phrases about Jenga.
Yeah, so. But she was so excited for herself. I have to say, that moment was incredible, because not only do you have it happen, and then you have Jeff checking if Jonathan got
it.
And then she was like, yes.
Yes, finally, like, someone understands me. You know, like, it was just pure joy.
What are we, Jeff, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are we checking in on anyone to make sure that everyone understood? But yes, it was a very, it was a great moment, because she is so genuine in herself as well. I mean, there is something about this cast that I really appreciate, and that people really feel like they can be truly honest about themselves and how they feel. And I just think it's been very fun to watch all of them do that on national television.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think it was funny that he went to Jonathan to ask if he understands.
I know.
It. Jonathan, Mr. 11.
Very entertaining.
Yes.
And I almost feel like Jonathan was like, yeah, I got it.
Thanks. Okay, I'll just make Marianne happy.
He's like that kid in class who doesn't pay attention. And the teacher's like, do you understand what's happening right now?
11. No, this is history class, not math. You know?
Oh, 11 will never, no, will never die.
No.
Will never die.
All right. Well, I really don't have anything else about this episode that we aren't going to cover in the rules. Do you?
This episode felt a little more just slow, kind of like it was. There were things that happened, but I don't know. The pacing of it was just kind of more natural feeling of Survivor, I guess, or it didn't seem to be
a bad slow, a good slow.
Yeah, it was just kind of like things were naturally occurring. There was a lot of conversations. Yeah. There was things to kind of follow along with. And it allowed you to just kind of appreciate, I feel, more of the gameplay as opposed to some advantage. And I really was happy that it was a regular old idol. I was like, thank you. Thank you. Like, it's just a regular idol. It's not something crazy. Yeah.
Right. So, all right. Well, before we move on to see how high did, we do need to mention that the rules we're about to discuss come in a shorter and much more colorful version in poster form.
Ta-da!
And you could go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed, scroll down to the poster, and click.
That's right.
In addition to the poster, we also have other ways to get the rules, so you can always have them with you. I saw some people at RHAP Live was wearing a poster shirt.
Love it.
So that was very good. Mm-hmm. Other people can get those again by clicking on the link at robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed. And so you have the poster shirt, you have the checklist shirt, you have mugs.
There's all kinds of things.
We do not, the wine glass was not inscribed. there is not a YX Lost wine glass.
I have one of those though.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Actually, do I have one or two?
I hope two.
Otherwise, yeah, I do have two.
One.
No, because I only use them. So like I just drink out of one, but
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. So, just remember, everybody go there. And in case you didn't hear it, it's at the bottom of the screen through the whole podcast.
Yes. Buy everything.
Yes.
And thank you to everyone who's supporting us and making those purchases. We appreciate it.
Yes. Well, Hai said in his final words that he played the game very well until the game outplayed him. Mm. He then said in interviews that people were too aware of his aggressive game, quote, and that did me in. And he also said he was proud that he was going out blindsided as a big threat. So that's three different reasons he gave for being voted out. Which was it? Was it any of those? Was it something different? Luckily, we're all here to set it straight. It's time. I say we're all. It's you, me, and Mike.
And your puppet.
It's time to figure out why Hai lost. The first and most important rule is, of course, to scheme and plot. And Hai certainly understood that. He was playing a hell of a game in that regard. He had created several alliances, including the final three we didn't know about of him, mm-hmm. Omer, and Drea, with Drea as his number one. Mm-hmm. We know he was tight with Mike. And, of course, we'll get to that a bit later. And he had his fingers in various other alliances as well.
Mm-hmm. I really loved that he almost slow played it, really, because when he first started, he was clearly strategizing, mm-hmm. but he wasn't shining it. And I think that's why we saw with the first tribal council where everything kind of went crazy and rocks became a potential component of it. I almost feel like that jump started him to be like, I really need to start playing aggressively because what I was doing, that's not working. I think that moment caused him to say, okay, I need to go from here and I have to go up here, because he was playing clearly very strategically from the beginning, but it just wasn't as focused and it wasn't as in control as I think he wanted to be. And then he just went full force and, unfortunately, a little bit probably too heavy.
Yeah, well, don't get ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I want to jump ahead.
Yeah, because nobody knew that otherwise. He had been playing strategically pretty much all game. You know, going back to the Daniel vote, we saw and heard from Daniel about how Hai did a great job convincing him that he was safe and that Chanel was the target, which kept him from playing the shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. Of course, this week we saw him try a maneuver to keep supposed target Jonathan from playing the shot in the dark, but it came off as almost silly because we knew it was BS and Jonathan himself knew it was BS. He had been prepped. But Hai said the same plan had worked twice before, and who knows, maybe it would have worked if Jonathan really had been the target instead of Hai himself.
Right. And I do think that Omer is part of the reason why that obviously didn't work, because mm-hmm. The relationship between those two was so much closer than we really knew. And he had shared that information with Omer. Right. So then, of course, Omer's like, play a double agent everywhere. And so he's throwing Hai under the bus so he can try to save Jonathan. And it's certainly going to help his game because he's going to keep Jonathan and have the target put on Hai. So that was obviously a great move for Omer to then say, no, you know what? This is how we're going to use this information. And I think it's a really great example of things that can happen in Survivor that you never see coming, because in the world that Hai had created, he thought that he and Omer were incredibly close and that he would never turn on him. And clearly Omer was outplaying him in that regard. And so it's very interesting to see how two very strategic people were playing the game and really how one just completely out-strategized the other. Right.
Yeah. Now, before he got to that point, I want to go back a bit earlier again, because mm-hmm. Hai did some very smart things at the merge to set himself up well. He used what he did to save Lydia, quote unquote, save Lydia. We'll mm-hmm. get to that, to show that he's truly loyal. He told the others in his new alliance how shady Chanel was and how she would have been next. And then he decided to take control, though he realized he had to give it up too, such as that Lydia vote.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you were just saying, it's not enough just to play well. You need to make sure the other people don't play better.
Yes.
And Hai told Dalton Russ, I think I got outplayed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he did, like you said. Now, that wasn't the only reason for his loss, as we'll discuss throughout the rest of the rules. But yes, he did get outplayed. He continued with Dalton to say basically what you just said about how comfortable he was. And he had no idea. That was genuine surprise when he started mm-hmm. seeing his name come up.
Yeah, I don't think it's that often that someone really does get outplayed in Survivor, because there's always kind of a feeling, you have an inkling, like something's not right. Somebody's acting a little bit different towards me. And I really feel like Hai walked in there feeling completely fine. And mm-hmm. he was complimenting them at Tribal Council and also in all of the exit press at how well they treated him that afternoon and how comfortable they all continued to make him feel. And even at Tribal Council, the things that they were saying, and I have to appreciate this, because that is one issue I've always kind of taken with Tribal Council, where Jeff asks someone a question and people are suddenly like, this is a safe space and I can reveal all of my secrets to Jeff Probst. But meanwhile, the people that you're playing the game with are sitting right next to you and they're all listening to what you're saying.
Taking notes, yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that he was listening to what they were saying and it was reaffirming in his mind that they were voting out Jonathan, it was incredible that mm-hmm. that's the way that they handled it and that they presented it. So great job to all of them for really pulling that off and making him feel completely comfortable and completely blindsided.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, while Hai credited Omer with the game move and the lie, he also said the lie was really bad. But to discuss that, let's move into the second rule, which says...
Oh, I thought you were reaching for the puppet again.
No.
You were like, so to discuss that.
So to discuss that...
We're going to bring the puppet back.
Mike, what do you say? And no, I realize this looks nothing like Mike, by the way. Nor was my imitation anything like Mike. It was simply
It was like Omer trying to do an impression.
It was exactly. Hey, guys, this is what you should... Oh, wait, that might have been his Roxroy imitation. Although, actually, they sound remarkably similar.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, and that was the lie that Hai had said Mike was the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
The reason Hai criticized it was because Mike lived with him for so long and should have known that, there was no way that he would speak like that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I do agree with Hai. When Hai said Mike is an emotional player and tends to react to things like that, we've seen it.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that Hai maybe missed was why it was a believable lie. And it was because Hai was seen as playing a good game and manipulating people.
Yes.
At the merge, he said he was the driver. Mike saw him making moves and pushing certain ideas and plans. Mm-hmm. Hai himself told Mike Bloom, I knew I was going to be pedal to the metal as soon as I hit the game. And his family and friends told him ahead of time, you're a very over-domineering, aggressive personality, which he agreed with.
Right.
So all those things add up to people, even Mike, seeing him a certain way. And Puppet Master is definitely one of those ways.
Well, and I will say, too, the way that it was presented to Mike was perfect, because it was playing off of the feelings Mike was already expressing. So he's already sitting there talking about how I didn't like how he told me that we needed to vote out Roxroy. And,
right.
and Omer jumped on that. And
Omer's
so,
like,
yes.
Come and into this, my web, said the spider to the fly.
Exactly. This is what makes his gameplay so impressive.
Yeah.
Because it's like he saw a moment and he capitalized on it. He didn't wait and come back to Mike later, because then Mike could take a moment and be like, well, why didn't he tell me that before? No, it was immediate. It was like, well, you know.
Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was at the beginning of the episode, right after they got back. It was because I think it was still dark and they were talking. That is when he was with his, you know, Mikey no likey. And then he said, I'm going to initiate my plan now. And it wasn't until the reward that he brought out the puppet stuff.
But they were talking about it again, though, when he talked about the puppet.
Oh, right. Yeah. He brought it up into the conversation. He steered the conversation.
Yes. Well, but that's what so like it makes sense as long as the conversation, that's where the conversation is. Right. It's not like he's just coming up to him and going, hey, I just thought I'd tell you, because I do think that that's what happens in Survivor sometimes, where someone presents something to you and it's completely out of context and it's not part of the conversation you're having because you have this bit of information you want to share and it can come across as not sounding truthful.
Right.
But if it's the way that he was able to provide that information, I think made Mike believe it more because of the way in which it was presented, the context in which it was presented. It was just part of the conversation and it sounded almost natural, not like I'm trying to just throw somebody under the bus.
Right. Kind of like High coming up to Jonathan out of the blue and saying, I have an idol. I'll use it for you.
Right. Exactly. Like, where is that coming from? Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, High did say in interviews that he tried to sit back and blend in, but people kept approaching him and it was hard to not be involved. And he added, at that point, unfortunately, I feel as though I was too much. I was perceived too much as a ringleader, either subconsciously or not. And people were too hyper aware of the way in which I was playing an aggressive game. And yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
He was playing out in front. He was aggressive. He was driving. He told Dalton Ross, everyone felt as though I was steamrolling the alliance in the conversation. So, yeah, it is just not a big leap from there to Mike believing that Omer, you know, called him a puppet and then, you know, saying I think he's the king.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, again, Mikey no likey.
He did say that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we could go to rule three, which tells players to be flexible. How do you think High did here?
So did we even really talk about rule two?
Yeah, that was the whole thing about rule two.
Okay, well, I just feel like there was really no introduction. It was like we just kind of fell into it. I just wanted
to We transitioned smoothly. Now you've drawn attention, and it's not such a smooth transition anymore. But yes, we transitioned smoothly and with the lie and everything. Yes.
I love it. Okay, just want to make sure. Just want to make sure.
Yes. All right. We wouldn't want to skip rules. We know.
That's why I'm checking.
I know.
Because I always get scolded for it.
Right.
So are you asking me if I think High was flexible?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he was flexible because I think that he was.
I like flexible. Yeah.
Okay. We need to put the puppet away. Champagne, lack of sleep. I can see what's happening right now. So anywho, I do think that High was certainly flexible in his approach to the game, because I think Lydia is a perfect example where he realized that he needed to let her go, even though he really liked her a lot and he wanted to play the game with her. And they were like two peas in a pod is what he described them as. But he realized, nope, she's already someone who the eight has kind of glommed onto as coming after the eight. And I have to step away. And he was able to kind of see the whole picture and realize what was going to be better for his game moving forward. So I don't feel like he was unwilling to change things up if he needed to. And he was willing to do things that were a little more extreme, like the whole rock thing that we watched, you know, when he was willing to go to rocks if he needed to. And so I do think that he was approaching the game kind of moment by moment, reading the room, what is happening and what do I need to do in order to further my game, as opposed to being like locked in and this is the only idea and this is the only thing I'm going to do. He seemed much more able to maneuver. He wanted to be malleable. I think that's how he actually described himself.
Right. Now, I do know that he got caught a little criticism on the earlier podcast, which I think came out before his interviews, you know, for should he really have let Lydia go? Now, we thought from the beginning, well, this was a decision that was made last minute and he didn't have a choice anyway. The tide was rolling over him. But yeah, he confirmed this was something Omer came to him like with 30 minutes left. And he just did not have time to marshal the forces.
Right.
So yeah, you got to do it. You can't, you know, when the tidal waves come in your way, you can't fight it.
Right. Because then it's certainly just going to backfire on you.
Then you just drown. Mm-hmm. You got to continue the metaphor.
Sorry. I'll work on it.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, we talked about it in the first rule that he had his hand in a lot of different relationships. He told Mike Bloom, my allegiances aren't necessarily dictated by arbitrary starting lines. And yeah, he showed that by being willing to give up Lydia, by targeting Chanel out of the merge gate. You know, and so I mean, I literally have a clip of Hai saying at tribal council last week, everyone had to adapt and be flexible. And the only reason that clip didn't turn into a TikTok is it was too short.
Damn it. So, TikToks need to be longer.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. But when they're only 3 seconds, you know, not a whole lot.
Can't do much.
No. So, but yeah, so, you know, speaking of TikToks, we can move into the fourth rule. And you may say, what does the fourth rule have to do with TikTok?
This is an interesting transition.
Yes, because the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. And I did have a TikTok from a clip of Hai saying last week, if he were voting emotionally, he would have voted out Romeo.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he had to vote strategically.
Yes.
So there you go. Again, it's like, I mean, he was out there like reciting the rules. We'll get to another one later. You know, he was just out there.
It's almost like he read them or something.
I hope so. Come on, Hai. Come on, Hai, fess up.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Inquiring minds want to know.
That's right. That's right. I want to know. all the young people are like, what are they talking about? Got to see the old commercial. But yeah, so, you know, this seemed to be where his head was at all the time. But oddly, he said in interviews that he played with empathy and sometimes it blinded him to logic and who was a strategic threat.
Which I thought was interesting. Like, yes. He's using that word. I'm like,
yeah,
really?
Because in particular, he was talking about Omer because they got along so well. He didn't see what Omer was doing.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I'm not sure anyone sees what Omer is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know we don't see everything. I just feel like Hai is maybe being a bit too hard on himself here. I think he was able to put his emotions aside when he needed to. Again, look back at Lydia. Look back at the vote he didn't go against Romeo. He did what he had to do.
Yeah, and I do think that it's a difficult place to be in when you like want to react emotionally. And he did talk a little bit about that in his response to Romeo and how things were affecting him. And it was something that was mm-hmm. bothering him. But he was able to move past that, even though he took issue with how Romeo was playing the game and making promises to him that were based upon things that he didn't truly believe in and thought that it was unfair. But again, he moved past it and said, okay, I need to do what's best for my game right now. Even though it clearly bothered him. He did have a moment with Romeo where, you know, he said things to mm-hmm. Romeo, but it is also a very difficult game to sit through and never have that type of reaction. And it was good that he was able to separate that out. And unfortunately, he's out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Wah, wah, wah.
Terrible.
Yes. Well, the fifth rule reminds players they need to pretend to be nice and play the social game. How do you think your winner pick did here? Was he a nice winner pick?
He was. I think he was. And here's what I will say. Like, I appreciate the fact that Hai came into this game saying, I want to play the game with people that I genuinely like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really does speak volumes about the type of Survivor player he was. Because if you look at the two people he wanted to go to the final three with, it was Omer and Drea. Like, what?
Yeah,
I mean, could you imagine that as a final three? That's crazy.
Yeah.
It would have been an amazing final three for viewers because we've obviously, again, seen everything. It would have been interesting to see how the jury would have been comparing all of their games. But I think that
which is why Omer didn't want it.
I know, right? So I do think that it is very interesting that that was his focus and that that's mm-hmm. what he ended up doing. The people that he got along with very well were the people that he wanted to play the game with, but he also didn't discount those people that he didn't necessarily connect with right away. He did say that Jenny and Mike, he didn't really have that much in common mm-hmm. with either of them. However, he still was playing a very close game with Mike. Clearly, we saw what happened when right. Mike thought that he wasn't playing the game that he thought he was playing with High. Yeah. So I do think that, again, that just shows how he was playing the game as a social player, but realizing the relationships matter, but I'm going to become even closer to those people that I genuinely connect with because that's only going to help my game because we're going to have that connection. So I thought yeah. it was great.
Yeah, I mean, he got close to everyone. I mean, Jenny did not give him high marks for his social game in the early days.
Right.
As we saw or, you know, read and dealt with at the time. But, you know, he had Daniel thinking they were so close he never wrote mm-hmm. him out. He had Chanel thinking the same thing. Though I guess that might have been true if she hadn't turned on him first. He made close bonds with just about everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, from Jonathan to Omer to, you know, to Drea, just all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was two peas in a pod with Lydia.
Yes. How many peas are in a pod?
I think there's more than two.
I think so, too. There could be a whole tribe of peas in a pod. Could be a pod squad. This is why David doesn't drink on podcasts.
I think you should do it more often. This is very enjoyable.
This is why David tries to sleep the night before a podcast.
It's a good idea. Both of those together, bad idea.
Yeah
maybe. But separate, if you sleep and then drink, maybe we'll be fine.
Yeah, listeners and viewers can judge. All right. Well, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. And here is where High hit another bump in the road when he was driving. Mm. He didn't see it at the time, but looking back, he told Mike Bloom, it made sense. I was visibly the biggest threat at that point in the game. It made sense for everyone to take me out. I can't even be mad at it. If I was in their position and I saw the way I was playing, I would have taken me out too.
Yeah.
And he continued that while he didn't realize it when Lindsay was saying it, he instantly flashed back in his mind after being voted out to realize that when she said they were going to even the playing field and make sure everyone had an equal chance, she was talking about him as a strategic player because he quote, was over domineering a lot of the strategy.
Yeah. And I do think that it's interesting because I feel like it was a good idea for Omer to obviously keep High around because High is the one getting all of the attention, right? If he's the one that everybody sees as the strategic mastermind, the one that's running the show, the one that's the puppet master, the one that's telling people what to do, it makes sense. And High even acknowledged that mm-hmm. Omer was kind of hiding behind him because everything looked like, oh, well, High's doing it. Really, Omer's doing all of it, but people aren't really seeing that.
He was hiding?
Yes. Anyway, so I'm curious if maybe this wasn't a move made too soon.
I tend to think not. I mean, they don't have that many more votes.
Well, and they don't. There's only like four more votes or something until they get to the final. But
right.
But I'm just, it's to me, I'm feeling like if you are Omer, and maybe he is so under the radar that
that's exactly what I was going to say. I think he's so low on the radar that even without the high shield,
he'll be fine.
Yeah. They're looking behind the high shield going, oh, there's nothing there. So now what I found interesting was also something High himself found interesting. We saw almost everyone this week talking about him as a threat. When his name was brought up, like nobody had any hesitation.
Right.
As soon as his name was brought up, boom, people were on the High train.
Right.
The only contrary plan was the one High thought was happening. Mm-hmm. That is how much of a clear threat he was.
Yeah. And I think that it's interesting that the focus isn't on the physical component at this part in the game. which is why I think this makes it an even more interesting vote. Mm-hmm. That the who cares who wins all of the immunities getting to the end, which is why we were already talking about the idea of Jonathan making it to the end, but nobody really caring if Jonathan is mm-hmm. there because they're not worried about Jonathan. And so it's fascinating that at this juncture of the game, they decided to keep the physical threats, the people that could potentially be. Now, granted, High did win an immunity. So,
right. And Jonathan has only won, what, one immunity? Or yes, did he win two?
No, he won. I believe one. It was just one because Lindsay won.
Yeah.
Tori won two.
I mean, he was second a lot of times. Right. But
he did also, and he won the food, which I think.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like an extra added bonus.
Yeah.
But so I think that again, shows at what level these people are playing the game at, is that they are all really thinking at the end, mm-hmm. who is it I want to be sitting next to and who's the most strategic player? And so it is very interesting to see that they were all so very aware of High, which then just goes to show that, yes, he was playing a little too aggressively. He was putting himself out there in front, and he was putting himself as the driver to Jeff Probst in tribal council, telling mm-hmm. everybody, this is what I'm doing, and putting himself on display, which certainly didn't help him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the seventh rule covers idols and advantages and game mechanics. And I'd like to start with that last part and go to a topic that is near and dear to your heart. the threatened rock draw. High told mm-hmm. Dalton Ross that even if Daniel hadn't started by saying he didn't go to rocks or didn't want to go to rocks, High would have pushed to that level anyway. And he reminded me very much of someone else I know. And I believe we even discussed right after that tribal council, you know, because as he said, as a math person, I knew that the probability of me drawing the white rock was low, but I knew the probability of me going the very next tribal council because I'm in the minority was high.
Right.
I would have gone to rocks because at that point I would have been next.
Yes. And that is a horrible moment to find yourself in, but that's when you really have to start looking at the numbers and you have to start mm-hmm. calculating. You can flip and save yourself one more vote, but then the next one, you've lost all your loyalty to anyone who's going to stick their neck out for you. So,
right.
you know, it does become a very, very difficult game move, but he read it completely correctly and was right, because not only was he right, but he also, I think, probably helped him because he did have the other half saying, I'm not going to rocks, which I think can help you be a little more strong in your position that like, well, I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for him that he had that added bonus. But yes, he clearly did the math, read the numbers and knew what was going to be in his best interest. And we actually talked about that if he had flipped, who's going to be saving him next vote? Nobody.
Right. Yeah. So then Lydia's gone. He's on the bottom by himself.
Right.
And he's gone next.
Right.
And this way, at least he had a, you know, 25% chance of sticking, or I'm sorry, 75% chance of sticking mm-hmm. around.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was similar to, you know, I remember talking the same thing when you went out, mm-hmm. you know, and going through the math and saying, well, you know, she's dead meat if she doesn't do it. So you got to go with the math. And
yeah,
sometimes the math just sucks.
Sometimes the rocks suck too.
Yes. Yes. Now, switching to advantages, High, of course, had an amulet that he earned in part by covering himself in blood.
Oh, that's what you should have done for your intro.
Oh, yeah. Cover myself in blood. Hold on. I have a bucket of fake blood lying around here.
That you can certainly find some.
I don't think so. It was hard enough to find a puppet, you know? So, yeah.
I think the viewers would have appreciated a David Bloomberg.
No, I don't think so. I think
rubbing blood all over.
I think they would have been like, oh my God, what is going on this video?
I might have
been like, report. Did you know? Okay, sorry. Quick thing. Survivor posted the official TikTok of Drea when she dipped her hand in to get the beware advantage and her hand came out covered in red paint.
Yeah.
TikTok had a warning label on it.
What?
Yes. They put a warning on it. Click through. It may be disturbing to some people.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? It was paint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen,
exactly.
there's a lot of videos I see on TikTok that there is no warning. And I'm like, whoa, what did I just see? Why is that on my what is it called? My feed, my timeline? I don't even know. But and there's no warning. There should definitely not be a warning on that one.
So, yes, you know, I just thought that was funny. Sorry for the, you know, but that's what would have happened to this video right there. YouTube would have had a big, you know, block sign on it or something. But in any case, when Hai did it, CBS did not block it, and it helped bond him to Drea, at least so he thought. But when push came to shove, it didn't matter. And Lindsay even said it as another reason to vote him out, though I really don't think it mattered.
I'm still fascinated, though, that that didn't turn into anything. Because at the moment, when you see how much blood he has on him, and Lydia did say, oh, my God, are you bleeding?
Well, because he said that they made him crawl through a pit of vegan blood.
Right. But still, I vegan mean, blood? It's like, why is nobody else? The other two people weren't covered in fake blood. Just high.
It was special vegan blood that only he could do. I don't know.
That was the one moment when I was like, oh, my winner pick. What are you doing? Why are you covering yourself in fake blood? No one will believe this.
Anyway, it worked, you know, except for Jenny. Jenny was the only suspicious one, and she was gone.
I know. It's fascinating.
So, all right. Well, Appendix A is about the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting, and we talk about voting out the weak and the strong, then the weak and the strong. Now, we're still in the phase of the game where voting out the strong is necessary, and in this tribal council, this is what I was talking about, Hai going through another one of our rules. He did a great job explaining how there are many different ways a person can be considered strong in Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are challenge beasts, intelligent, strategic players, and those who are incredibly social. It's even possible I might make that into a TikTok so people can relive the whole thing. And hopefully there'll be no warning. He just didn't realize that as he was listing all this stuff, he was talking about what was about to happen to himself.
I know. And I really do think that so much of what we saw happening with Hai was someone who was, it was almost like his game was building and he was doing so well that it was just increasing. And I think with that came more and more confidence in himself and the game that he was playing. And because he really was doing a great job, but that can backfire in Survivor. It's not like the real world when you're killing it at your job and you're getting promotions and everybody's like, wow, look how great you're doing.
It can backfire in the real world too. Trust me.
Well, it certainly can, but not like it can in Survivor.
Yes,
like, because in the real world, if you're like, I'm going up the steps and I'm climbing the ladder and I'm getting promotions and people are recognizing the good work that I'm doing. In Survivor, you can have the same thing happen, and then people are like, well, now it's time for you to go. And that's, I think, exactly what we saw end up happening with Hai, is that he really was, his game was continuing to be better and better and better as he moved along, which then, unfortunately, caused his demise.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I guess the question is, did the tribe make the right call, considering
my winner pick. No.
Now, considering they all agreed on it, I do think it was the right call.
And I don't disagree. And I think if anyone is going to get the most out of this vote, it's someone like Omer. Because I do think that he is playing a phenomenal game as well, and is really the puppet master that no one really knows is actually the puppet master. But for him to sit next to Hai, and we've talked about this a lot, when you're in the final three, if people don't see you doing things, it becomes very hard for you to justify what you have done. And so if you're sitting next to Hai and you're Omer and you're like, well, he's been the shining light and he's been the one that everyone has been talking about as the driver and in control and doing all of these things, how am I going to separate myself from him and make myself stand out? Well, the only way you do that is by voting him out. That's the only thing you can do. And that's what Omer can point to and say, like, listen, I got you out of here because you were too much of a threat to my game.
Right.
And so I don't know if it's necessarily the same thing for everyone else, because I don't think anyone is playing as much of a similar game too high as Omer is. But I think for anyone's benefit, it's probably the best for Omer.
Right, right. All right, so it's about time to wrap things up. What are your final thoughts?
I will say this again. Hi, this was not amazing. I needed this. I needed a moment to finally say, David, I was right.
Aww.
You were wrong. And my winner pick won. And I really thought I had it this time.
I did too, actually.
Right? I was like,
I was getting worried.
Oh, I was so excited. I was like, look at my high go. He is killing it out there, doing a great job. But unfortunately, I will say, I have to quote high in one of the things that he had said in his exit press. I think I was playing too visible of a game. My game wasn't covert. I was aggressive and strategic in my gameplay, and I think I did a really poor job at managing my threat level. Other strategic players saw an opportunity to cut the head off the snake, and I was the metaphorical snake. And I can't agree more. I really think that he truly was playing an incredible game, but it was incredible so much so that other people saw it. And that's the problem in Survivor, is that you have to play a more quiet game like Omer is doing, where people don't know that you're doing this. They don't see it happening. And you're not putting yourself in the driver's seat where everybody can point to you and say, well, he's the one that's doing it. And he's the most threatening and he's the most strategic, which is why I go back to what I said earlier. Was this too soon? Did they make a mistake by cutting off the head of the snake too soon? But again, as David, you pointed out, there's only like four more votes, I think, before they get to final. Maybe it was too soon. Maybe they could have done it in the next round. Maybe he would have won another immunity. Who knows? So I do think overall for High, his game really was working in a progression that I think most people hope their Survivor games progress, where maybe you start out at the bottom, but you build yourself up, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in control. But unfortunately, he's in control and playing with people that all see what he's doing and are seeing the level of threat that he is to their individual game, especially Omer. And when you are a threat to one person in particular, and that person happens to be in more control than you know, that's when your game gets cut short. So I'm very sad, because I was hoping, I was like, please, I could finally do it. I could finally have a winner pick win while I'm doing this podcast. And it didn't happen. Nope. So anyway, that's my life.
Yeah. Well, at the beginning of the podcast, I noted that High said several things about the end of this game and wondered which one applied. Was it because he was outplayed? Were people too aware of his aggressive game? Did he get blindsided as a threat? It was D, all of the above. High played strategically from the get-go, saving himself early and then taking control of his starting tribe. He stayed in the driver's seat when they got to the merge, even if he hit a speed bump when Omer reached over to grab the wheel and run over Lydia. But he was always the one making plans and seeming to direct traffic. You okay there?
That was good. That was really good. Sorry, Lydia. That was funny.
Now, that made him a threat and a prime target. Other players don't want one person behind every move. Indeed, in this very tribal council, Omer said it's very rare you can go from day one to day 26 and lead the whole way through and not get your head chopped off. High appeared to be nodding along, not realizing it was his own head Omer was talking about.
Yeah.
And Omer was able to pull it off using what High called a bad lie about
here it comes, the
puppet. Because Mike here was primed to believe it, along with all the others. High was too obvious in his control, his puppeteering, and that made him someone who had to go. High said in interviews that he was proud to be blindsided as a big threat, and that he went out because of strategy. Certainly, that's better than other reasons for going out. But these are still both things players need to watch out for. High was too obviously leading the scheming. He was too strong a player, And that made him a threat that everyone was eager to vote out when his name was brought up. And that is why High lost.
Sad.
It is.
Very sad.
It is.
But I had a good run.
You did.
He did well. Yes. He made me proud, High. Definitely made me proud. And that made me very sad.
That's worth almost as much as a million.
Yeah.
Almost.
Really. Almost. Yeah, mm-hmm. Really. My appreciation.
Yes.
Really, really is.
Yes. All right. Well, before we get to our predictions, let me remind everyone that you can go to robhasawebsite.com/yxlostfeed and get the rules we just discussed. You can get it in checklist form on a t-shirt, checklist form on a mug. Mm-hmm. You can get it on poster form on a t-shirt or poster form on a poster. Hey.
And they're also on sweatshirts as well.
Yes, and sweatshirts.
Even though the weather is finally getting warm, you might still want a sweatshirt. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you wear a sweatshirt more indoors when it's warm out because the AC is so cold.
Thank you very much for the story of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Freezing in my house all the time.
Yeah, again, go to robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed.
See, Jessica, stop that.
No. We don't care if you're cold. They're colder.
I'm cold all the time.
So, predictions. This is a tough week. And I say that coming off of a three-quarter win and a full win.
Can you stop reminding everybody?
Have you met me?
Yes, I have, actually.
Okay, then answer your own question. Can I stop reminding everybody?
No.
Okay. But it looks like you were
like an abacus. Is that what they call those? You move it up behind you and you can like move the little. Clink, chick, chick,
chick. Move it up and down. It looks like do or die is coming back, which makes it hard to predict because it could just be whoever messes up in the challenge. And that could shake things up.
I don't like do or die.
I know.
Silly.
Same.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think there's any way Omer competes because he has no reason to do so. He's controlling the game. Why would he worry about that?
Right.
Marianne and Mike probably won't. I just feel like neither of them will take that risk.
Mm. Well, Marianne has an idol, too, so why would she?
Right, exactly. I think Lindsay might not either because she probably feels safe. Jonathan certainly will, because one, he doesn't feel safe, and two, it's a challenge. Romeo is perpetually paranoid, so he'll feel like he has to. I think Drea is the bigger question mark, but whether she does or doesn't.
But wait, she has how many things in her pocket?
But they're all votes and stuff. They're not.
There's no. Well, she does have the, hey, I can ask
someone.
Oh,
that's right. She can steal from Mike.
Right. So she knows. So Mike has an idol.
Yeah.
So she could take his idol. So she could compete just to see what the hell is going to happen.
Well, but no, now, if you go out first, an idol can't save you.
But so that's so OK. So that doesn't help her then either.
I mean, it could literally be Romeo and Jonathan as the only.
What if only one person does it?
I don't know. I think we debated that last season.
Yeah, I
don't necessarily mean we here, but on Twitter and everything. Because, yes, then you would be both the first one out and the winner. You'd be immune and have do or die. So I'm sure that the producers have an answer for that.
I'm sure they're
not going to tell us because they're hoping that it doesn't happen.
Interesting.
So so what I think will happen is I think, Jonathan and Romeo will play. I think that Romeo will go out first.
Mm-hmm.
I think Romeo will lose do or die, which means, you know how I started by saying there could be a big shakeup? There won't be a big shakeup. And the double pagonging continues.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, too. And I know we've already said Jonathan has not won everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are presented with a challenge where you have to go against Jonathan and you are told the first one out is do or die. Are you really feeling good about your chances? Like, you know,
Romeo may feel better about that than just about a vote.
And that's true, too. That is very true. But this is why I can't stand all of these extra silly advantage things that have been created, because it just takes away from the gameplay itself.
Right.
I would rather they just have to all compete, go into the challenge, and then figure it out. Like, who are we going to vote out based upon what we know, as opposed to some little box that someone has. I know, I'm so boring. I'm so old school Survivor. But I mean, really, like, this is really what do we always express as like our favorite components of the game?
Well, as we said earlier, is the scheming, the plotting, right, the strategy. Right. Yeah.
And when you take that away, because you have to then worry about, well, what's in the box? Yeah, it's like, I just, to me, I don't feel like it's necessary. And especially when you have people who are much more prone to winning challenges versus people who are much more prone to losing challenges, having to compete for something like that, it just seems nonsensical.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So, what do you
think? Well, my prediction is it's Romeo. I feel like Romeo is going to, and I was debating between Jonathan and Romeo, just because I know that they've both kind of been in the outs. I know Marianne has kind of been a little bit too, but she has the idol. But then with the four Taku strong still being there, I started to think, well, now wait a second. Maybe there is something to this. And maybe there is something to this idea of Jonathan just being kept around, because I mean, really, he's proven to be incredibly loyal to the people who he has expressed his loyalty to.
Loyal, just not very bright about that loyalty.
But
like,
that's
I'm loyal to Marianne unless I accidentally get her voted out with my bad plan.
But that's what makes him a safer person for someone like Omer to keep around, because Omer knows he's not going to be coming at me, because he doesn't have that strategic mind to do so.
Or in Omer's words, I believe he said, he doesn't know bleep.
Yeah. So it to me feels like I think Lindsay might fall into that same category with Jonathan, where she might just be like, you know what? He's not going to take me out. So I might as well just let him hang in there. And then get to the end of the game. I mean, so it's an interesting, this is where the game definitely shifts, because it certainly is that moment where people are like, who do I want to be sitting in the final three with? And we've talked about this a lot, that there are people who end up in that third seat, who end up taking that seat away from someone else because they get dragged along. And not that Jonathan is being dragged along, but that there is this idea of that person who everyone kind of becomes comfortable with, the idea of them sitting there, because I don't need to worry about that person.
Yeah.
So this is why I like two better, because I just feel like that third person very rarely gets any votes anyway.
Yes. True. So, all right. So do you think Romeo is going to get voted out or do or died out?
This is going to be terrible, but well, oh gosh, I hate this. So I feel like, okay, now I have to work through this and forgive my ignorance and my not remembering.
So here, let me, I'll quickly go through it for you.
Yes, go through it.
Someone will have the do or die. Mm-hmm. All right. And then if they survive, then there's a vote. They're immune and there's a vote. So the only way Romeo could do that is if he didn't end up being the first one out of the challenge.
I cannot believe that we would get another season where someone picks the right box. Like, I just feel like the probability of that is slim to none. Like, so yeah, it's actually
fairly high, but okay.
Okay, well, do the math. What's the math? I'm curious.
Well,
I'm not a math person.
Well, since he did not, it should be a 50-50 shot if you play it right.
Right. It's the,
okay? Monty Hall problem.
Monty Hall,
Deshaun did not play it right, so it was a 1/3 chance. Right. If it was a 50-50 chance, then it would be a 25% chance that it would they would be safe both times, which is not that terrible a shot.
Okay. I guess I hope he ends up just getting voted out. I feel like I don't know. I just
you don't
feel
want
like,
him to die.
Oh, I just want Survivor to be Survivor.
Yes.
You know, so I just feel like let him be voted out like he's supposed to be, if that's what it is to be.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so we both pick Romeo, but we pick him in different ways.
You think he's going to be...
Died.
Died.
Dude or died, yes.
I just think in this moment, Jeff should come out with one of those long microphones that is very slim.
Oh, like the...
Like the Price is Right.
Yeah,
and the
Price is Right, yeah.
Yeah, and the... Let's make a deal. Like all of the, like, yeah, let's get him a microphone like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, as we wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhaswebsite.com/patron. You can get access to our weekly Survivor Academy podcast, the Patron 5 for 5, and more. And when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, there's the Facebook groups and the Discord. Rob does rewatches in the Discord. There's a great community of people. Including both of us, where you could talk about Survivor, Big Brother, just life in general. And you get first dibs to tickets to live events like the one in New York that was completely sold out in like minutes or hours or something by Patreon.
It's crazy.
So, yeah. So almost the only way you're going to get the live show tickets is by being a patron. I just can't see, with the number of patrons that there are, I cannot see those not selling out almost every time, and, you know, until the time that Rob rents out the Superdome or something like that. You know, Rob has a stadium tour.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. I proposed a charter jet to Australia that we could have a Know-It-Alls live in Australia. Can you imagine how much fun that normally I would think that a flight to Australia would, you know, be kind of dull, but could you imagine it being filled with RHAP people?
I'm going.
Yeah.
If that happens.
And Devin said he was going too. So
I'm definitely going.
Yeah, exactly. He'll keep us entertained the whole time.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay. Now, you know who can't come? Tiffany, because everybody will be trying to sleep and
she has to come.
Yeah, but no one will get any sleep.
I don't care. If I'm going, Tiffany is going.
Well, that's true. Yeah, and you know, everyone,
Tiffany,
will be,
if you're listening, that's it. We're doing this.
If signing she's listening, up. She has not made it this far, I guarantee it. But she made it to like 11. So anyway, you can help support shows like ours and everything on the network by becoming a patron at robhaswebsite.com/patron, or guess what? You can click on the link at robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeed and click on the patron link in there. And of course, once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
Absolutely, because we love to hear what you have to say. And you should also follow us on Twitter. I am at JessicaLewis89 and David is at David Bloomberg. You should definitely follow us both. We do live tweet during the episodes and we also live tweet. We just tweet during the week. That's not even, yes. I don't even know. I guess it's live tweeting, whatever.
Sometimes it's not for me. Sometimes I'll like store up a bunch of tweets and let them all go at once, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes tweeting. I do that too. You just like set them later. But so you should definitely follow us both. And, you know, David is adamant that he gets tweets out before I do, which is always fun to hear pointing that out, that he was right and he got it out first. But I am at JessicaLewis89. He is at David Bloomberg. And as you did hear David express his love for TikTok, you should certainly follow him on TikTok. He is at David_Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. And you can see all of the incredible posts that he makes. And I must say, I'm very proud of you, David, for taking it on and being like the TikTok guru, considering getting you to even do a video podcast was like pulling teeth. And now you're like, look at me. I'm going to make all these videos all day long, every day.
Now, most of the videos don't have me in them.
But there are quite a few that do.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And also, I am on Instagram at david.e.bloomberg, where I copy over the TikTok videos a little bit afterwards.
Yes.
So you could follow me there as well.
And I occasionally post on Instagram. I'm at JessicaLewis6789. If anyone's interested.
Yeah, I'm interested. And everyone should make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going, again, to our YX Lost feed page. You'll find great content like the Know-It-Alls, the Stock Watch, the Survivor International, the B&B, and much more.
Yes, and I would like to thank Scott St. Pierre for all of the editing that he does on this Why Blank Lost podcast. And not only this, but all of the editing he does for the RHAP podcast and channel and everything. So thank you so much, Scott, for all of the incredible work that you do. And thank you to Will from America for the theme song that you created for this podcast. It's super duper catchy, a lovely tune. You should all hum it, sing along with it every time you listen and watch Why Blank Lost. So thank you, Will, for that.
Yes. And thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Everybody, Jessica and everyone else, have a happy Mother's Day.
Thanks. Yes, happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. Yes. Who's a mother? My gosh, can I say happy Mother's Day to my mom?
Sure. Yes. I'll say happy Mother's Day to your mom too. Happy Please. Mother's Day, Jessica's mom.
Oh, thank you. My mother is a huge fan of the podcast, and she is, it's just so nice when she reaches out to me to tell me how much she enjoyed it, how much she loves David. And it's just so nice that my
mom is always right. Yeah,
of course, all the time. So yes, that's exactly what you say, right, Mom? So happy Mother's Day to my incredible mother. She is truly one of the best human beings ever. And I don't just say that because she's my mom. She really, really is. So happy moms. Happy Mom's Day to every mom that's out there.
Right. That's right. All right. With that, we will be right back here in a week. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
You lost Survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost.